a study on the will of God. What is it? How do I know the will of God? We started out with basically the understanding of what is a will. And then we looked at what the Bible statements on the will of God. We see specific statements. It's the will of God for a person to be saved. It's the will of God that we pray. It's the will of God that we be thankful. It's the will of God that we be pure. It's the will of God we obey the government. It's the will of God that we be surrendered, present our bodies a living sacrifice. But we've seen that the will of God has a lot to do with our daily life, our daily walk. Then we looked at the statements from the New Testament about the will of God and the Old Testament statements about the way. The way of God is really kind of the Old Testament parallel concept. And we looked at those. And then as far as tying it together, we looked at Genesis chapter 24 when Abraham's servants wanted to find a bride for Isaac. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The idea of when we're on the way or on the path that God has laid out for us, at that time, then we'll receive further instructions. But if we're not on the path or on the way where we should already be, don't expect to get further instructions until you obey the one you've already received. Okay? That led us into the point that we're on now, Bible principles for making decisions. Okay, when you're in the will or the way of God, God will guide our steps. Psalm 119, 133, this is reviewed from last week. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 32 and verse 8, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, see the same thing in Psalm 37, that God guides through the word of God. Okay, God guides through other means, but the primary method that you're going to know God's will first and foremost is God's word. Okay? And remember, God's will never be contrary to God's word. Okay? God did not lead you I'm going to use an extreme example. Please excuse this, okay? But God didn't lead you to be to join a ring of prostitution so you could be a light in that community. Okay? Obviously that's an extreme example. But what I'm trying to illustrate is God's will does not contradict God's word. Okay? But there's so many cases in which people have said, well, God led me to do this, or God led me to do that, or I prayed about it, and I think this is what God wants me to do. But there, when you bring up, well, what about this scriptural principle? The mentality is, well, I prayed about it, and I've got peace about it, so that's all that matters. Now, we're going to talk about those things today, praying about it, having peace about making decisions. But the baseline is it in line with God's word? So how do I know? Well, be reading. If you've read the whole thing from cover to cover five times, do you know everything that's in there? Do you remember everything you've read? No, so in other words, we've got to be constantly refreshing, constantly going back through. But God will never guide you to do something that is contrary to the word of God. God guides first and foremost through the scripture. He guides through godly counsel. That is, again, people that give godly counsel will have life experience. But guess what else their counsel is going to be based on? The word of God. Okay? So again, it's coming back to that. And then we looked at how God guides through our desires and interests. We spent the majority of last week probably, or we ended on this point, but God guides through our desires and interests. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, we already went through all that, so we spent a long time on it. But does that mean that as long as I'm going to church, reading my Bible, etc., whatever I want, God gives it to me? No. That is a simplistic explanation of how a lot of preaching is conducted today, whether it's in churches, on television, on radio, that kind of thing. If you do these things, God has to bless you. God has to give you a Mercedes and a 10,000 square foot house. And who was it? I think it was Creflo Dollar down in the Atlanta area that went on TV and was trying to raise money for a $70 million Learjet to replace the $35 million Learjet that he already had. And, But it's that kind of mentality. That's not the way it works. And we talked about that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. And it's as we have our face in God's word, we are changed into the image of God. Okay? So, delight thyself also in the Lord. If I'm delighting in God, if I'm spending time with Him, I'm learning what He likes, and then I learn to like what God likes, right? It's not too complicated, is it? All of you that are married have learned to like things through the influence of your spouse that you didn't like when you were a younger person or a single person, okay? You know, for some of you, it's vegetables. Okay, maybe you still don't like them, but you eat them because she puts them on your plate and tells you you have to be a good example to the kids, okay? But, you know, you learn to like things. Maybe you're introduced to things that you never really considered before. Oh, okay. But the point of Psalm 37 is delight thyself also in the Lord. If my delight is in knowing God and pleasing God, then the things that I'm going to desire will also be things that please Him. Not first and foremost what pleases me. Understand that? Okay? However, let's turn it around now. So if I delight myself also, Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So if I'm trying to do what pleases God and not what pleases me, does that mean I am condemned to a life of spiritual drudgery? No. When we try to do what pleases God, we find out, hey, I like this. I enjoy this. And there's no guilt. I mean, that's a great side effect too, isn't it? There's peace and joy in all of those things. But we talked about that, and we talked about 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man desires the office of the bishop, how God begins to work sometimes in the heart of a man about desiring that pastoral ministry, and of course other qualifications that go with it. We did not look last week, though, at Psalm 40 in verse number 8. So I want us to start there this morning. Psalm 40 in verse number 8, just kind of to reinforce this point as we move on. Psalm 40 in verse number 8 says this, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Okay? I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you see a connection here between two of the three points that we've talked about? When we delight in God, then our heart is filled with what? What does he say in the second half of verse 8 is within my heart? The law of God. Okay? So you see still the connection between the will of God and the word of God. You still have that intimate connection. When we delight in God, God's word is what fills our life and then guides our interests, so to speak. Turn with me over to John chapter 7, if you would, please. The Gospel of John in chapter 7. This is kind of a culmination of some of these things, or putting together some of the things we've already talked about. We already talked about Romans chapter 12. It's the will of God that Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, it's the will of God that we be surrendered. Now, look at John 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, okay, it's hard to tell here without doing a little word study. Is that just a prediction of the future? Anybody that will do his will in the future? No. The term here is the same. Though he that, I can say it this way for understanding, he that willeth to do. In other words, he that chooses to do the will of God. Okay, he that willeth to do, that's the verb form. The will of God is the noun form, but it's the same root word. Okay? So in other words, the one that chooses to do the will of God will know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Okay, this was an answer that Jesus got, a question from the Jews, and he's giving them an explanation. But he said, look, if you're seeking to please God, you'll understand the doctrine of God and the way of God. You know, there are times when things don't always make sense to us, because whether we want to admit it or not, we're still trying to figure out a way to do what we really want to do. instead of just saying, all right, God, whatever you want me to do. Okay? But John 7, verse 17, if any man will or chooses to do his, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine. So all of that together goes to this point. God guides through our desires and interests as we delight in him. Okay? As our heart is filled with the Word of God. Because as our heart is filled with the Word of God, as we delight in him, we begin to want the things that God wants. Okay? Some of the things that we used to think we really, really wanted kind of fall by the wayside. I won't ask for a bunch of responses, but if you ever, maybe as a kid, maybe as an adult, but if you ever really, really, really wanted something, maybe for Christmas or your birthday, and then you got it, and then after you got it, it wasn't really what you wanted, and that excitement kind of faded fast. Raise your hand. Ever experienced that? Ever seen that with your kids? They really, really want something, and they don't play with it for 2 weeks? It's the same way if we really, really want what we want instead of learning to want what God wants. Okay? If we really, really want what we want, we'll be like the children of Israel, where Psalm says God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Okay? If we really, really want what we want, we might get it and find out what I really want at all. But when we learn to choose what God wants, there's a joy and a satisfaction that goes along with that. It far outweighs what we thought we might have wanted. Okay? But God guides through our desires and interests as we're focused on him and filled with his word. Right? Number four, God guides through circumstances. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 8. This is kind of a term that we throw around today. You ever heard this statement or something to this effect? Well, I pray God will open the door and close it. Okay, this is where we get that terminology. Acts chapter 16. Right? Well, I'm going to begin in verse number 6. Now, when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Ever wonder how they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word? Alright, we can talk about that. I don't want to confuse you too much. But there are times when God says go do it, and there are times when God says no. You say, well, that sounds really mystical, and I'm not spiritual enough to figure that out. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever started to do something, and you felt that conviction in your heart, you better not? That's the Holy Spirit of God forbidding you to do something. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we blow through the stop sign. Okay? But that's the Holy Spirit of God forbidding, okay? Now, did God give Paul visions and dreams? Sure. Did God speak with him differently at this point than he does with us today because we have the completed Bible? Sure. Okay? But all I'm saying is God forbids us to do things sometimes. The question is, are we as sensitive to it as Paul was? Anyway, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were coming to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. But again, the Spirit suffered them not. God did not allow them to go. Verse 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and there appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering, the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Okay? God said, no, 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 yes. Now, if you say, well, I had a dream last night, and God has led me to do this, you're mistaken. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not going to say you're unspiritual or insincere. I'm going to say you're mistaken. Okay? God does not lead in that same way today. Wow, we have the completed word of God. Okay? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, whether they prophecies they shall fail, whether they be tongues they shall cease, all of those things that God gave the apostles for a period of time have passed off the scene because we have the completed word of God. But nonetheless, they tried to go here and God shut it down. They tried to go here and the Spirit of God says no. And finally, they get an invitation over here and God says yes. Okay? God does at times guide through circumstances. Now, you notice where we put this on the list? If circumstances are your only guiding post, you're going to make mistakes. For instance, 1 Samuel chapter 24, 1 Samuel chapter 26. Okay? David, 1 Samuel 24, David's hiding in the cave and Saul comes in the cave. And the men say, look, this is the time God spoke of you, that you can take care of your enemies. Made it sound real spiritual. Only problem is God never said that. Okay? But David's hiding in the cave. And the men are like, yeah, this is the time. And David said, oh. David went down there and cut off just a little corner of his robe to prove that he had been that close. And his conscience convicted him about that. Okay? But did David have an open door to kill Saul? If he made his decision only based on, well, I have an open door, I guess I should do this, he would have made the wrong decision. See, he had to compare that open door to other principles of Scripture. Touch not the Lord's anointed. God's the one that put him in the, on the throne. God's the one that's going to take him off the throne. Okay? But if he only judged by an open door, David would have made a huge mistake. Okay? But when he compared that open door with other principles of Scripture, he said, no. Open or closed, doesn't matter. That's not the path that I should take. Okay? So if you only judge on an open or closed door without any other comparisons, you can make the wrong decision. Okay? But as we're seeking God, I mean, in Acts chapter 16, were Paul and his companions just trying to do whatever they wanted to do? No, they were seeking God. They were trying to spread the gospel. They were trying to preach like they'd been commanded to do and so forth. And as they were seeking God, God said, no, 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 yes. That's it. Okay? But there are times when God does give direction that way. I'm just saying you have to balance it out. That's why I didn't put this as the number one thing on the list. Okay? Now, I've got a couple other references here. I mentioned 1 Samuel 24, David in the cave. 1 Samuel 26 is when God put a deep sleep on the host, and David and Abishai went down there and took the spear and the bottle of water that was right next to Saul and went back out. Was that an open door for David to kill Saul? Yeah. Was that God's will for him? No. Okay? So he did right in both of those circumstances. In between there, in 1 Samuel 25, he just about made a great confess. Okay? 1 Samuel 25 is the story of David and Nabal. Okay? It was sheep shearing time, which if you think it was a big festival time. If you think about it, it'd be like Thanksgiving time. Okay? And it was a time when people would have a big feast and they would share and give gifts, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas. David and his men had provided protection to Nabal's shepherds. And then he said, hey, we've helped you guys out. Ask the men, they'll tell you. Now, would you share some of the feast with us? And Nabal said, oh, I'm not going to help a runaway servant. He accused David of being rebellious against Saul. And David said, that's it. I'm not taking this from this guy. I'm going to go settle this myself. And he told all the men to strap on their gear, and he was going to take out Nabal. Okay? Now the word gets back to Nabal's wife, Abigail. Hey, David's coming. This is what David's messenger said. This is what Nabal said back. You better expect it. David's coming, and it's not going to be good. So Abigail gets a bunch of stuff together quickly and doesn't tell her husband. She goes out to meet David, and that's the references that I gave you here in 1 Samuel 25. Now, think about this. David is a soldier. David is the one who has killed Goliath. David is the one who is anointed to be the future king of Israel. And here's a woman that shows up telling him, you're wrong, don't do what you're thinking about doing. Okay? There were a lot of reasons for David to say, I don't listen to you. That would have been a bad decision. But if he wanted to, in pride, just blow it off instead of listening, he could have made a really big mistake. However, 1 Samuel 25, verse 32. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Then he goes on to say, if you hadn't stopped me, that's exactly what I was going to do. You know what? God stopped David through circumstances, right? Could David have said, Abigail, get out of my way? If you don't want to be part of this, then get out of my way. I'm taking care of Nabal. Sure, you could. But aren't you glad that when you've made up your mind to go in a dumb direction, God has still sent you another stop sign? I am. I've done that a lot of times. You know, I'm going down my merry way, and it's almost like God has to smack you in the side of the head, you know. But God sent somebody else, saying, David, this is going to be a big mistake. She brought in scriptural principles. That is, let God avenge you and don't avenge yourself. Okay? There was godly advice. This could fall in the category of godly counsel as well, right? But here, I'm throwing it in here in the category of circumstances. But there are times when you got your mind made up. You better be willing to listen when somebody else says, have you considered this, and this isn't a good idea, even if it comes from a source that you're not inclined initially to take advice from. You know, like when your kids say, hey, Dad, what about... Okay, yeah, you're right. We can come from all sorts of directions. Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 6 is the story of Abimelech when Abraham had gone down to Egypt. And Abraham lied and said, she's my sister, not my wife. Abimelech took her. Well, then he spotted him sporting with his wife. And so wait a minute. You could have had me make a big mess here. See, Abimelech was not trying to disobey God's will or God's design. Okay? But through the circumstances, God allowed Abimelech to see what he needed to see to stop him from going down a path that would have been bad even though he had no intentions of doing wrong. Okay? There are times when God says, yes, here's an open door, like Acts chapter 16. There are times when God says, no, stop right here and turn around, like 1 Samuel 25 and Genesis chapter 4. God at times does guide through our circumstances. Okay? But notice there in many cases how much overlap there is between that intervention and Bible principle. Okay? Even in the circumstances of Abraham and Sarah and Abimelech, what was the Bible principle? Okay? One man, one woman, one lifetime. Okay? So you see how God at times guides through those circumstances, but we've got to balance that out with the understanding that an open door or closed door still has to be compared to the Bible principle and godly counsel. Okay? And so, yes, God does guide at times through circumstances or what we would say an open door or a closed door. Right? Number 5. God does give peace when we're in His will. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, if you would, please. Tim Brew, do you mind getting Colossians 3:15? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see prayer and supplication there? Remember, that was on our list of things that is God's will for everybody to do. That falls in line with already doing what I know I'm supposed to do. All right, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This can apply to making decisions and trying to discern what God wants us to do in particular circumstances. But this has a broader application than that. This can be the peace of mind with the uncertainty of the future, or difficult situation, or the loss of a loved one, or a lot of anything that gets us all worked up. The peace of God can calm our hearts. But it also is related to this making requests. God, what do I do? Well, I got to make take path A, B, or C here. What do I do? Colossians 3 and verse 15. Tim, read it through loud for you.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful.
Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called. All right? How does the peace of God rule in your heart? Well, that word rule, I've already put it up there, has the idea of to be an umpire. Okay? Yes, no. Inbounds, out of bounds. Safe, out. Roughing the passer. Okay? Whatever. But the idea is to make decisions. Yes, no. Yes, you may do that. No, you may not do that without violating the rules of the game. Okay? But, all right, so how does that work? Now, I'm getting ready to probably step on some toes, probably including my own. But if you don't have all the other steps that we've already talked about for the last 4 weeks in place, you can convince yourself that you've got the peace of God, when really it's just a lot of times a numbed conscience. Okay? It's a numbed or a calloused or a seared or a hardened conscience or heart. So if, again, I did not put this at number 1, 2, or 3. No, it is on the list and it is Bible. But so many times we get this concept out of the order with the other things we've already talked about. If I acknowledge God as my creator and God as my redeemer, then I ought to do his will because he made me and he bought me. And here's some things that he's plainly told me to do. So if I'm not being obedient here, then how do I expect him to give me further instructions? Okay, now I'm being obedient here, and I'm trying to follow the principles of God's word and the godly counsel that I get that, again, lines up with God's word. And I'm trying to delight myself in God and learn to do what he wants. Okay, and I'm trying to interpret the circumstances in light of what God wants and God's word and that kind of thing. Well, in that circumstance, if I have all of those things in line, yeah, God gives us peace. So how does that work? Have you ever, again, I relate this in some ways to conviction. I think conviction and the peace of God are, in a lot of ways, the two sides of a coin. You start to do something, and the Spirit of God says no, and you keep walking that way, and that gets louder, and you're like, all right. Or maybe you're faced with a situation or a pressure situation, and you say, all right, no, I got to do what's right. And there's just an overwhelming sense of relief. I did what was right. I mean, that can be the peace of God. Okay? But how does the peace of God rule in our hearts? Well, there's times when you say, I start going this direction, and God can say, you better reconsider that. How do I explain that? I'm trying. To a certain extent, though, it's something you learn by experience. Like Samuel, yeah, Eli, I'm here. You called me. What do you want? Oh, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Samuel, I go lay down. It took Eli a while to figure out what was going on. But it says Samuel did not know the voice of the Lord. Okay? And there's times when, you know, we begin to learn to recognize either that's God saying no or that's God prompting us, yeah, we should. Okay? That happens, though, when everything else that we talked about is in line to the best of our ability. Am I talking sinless perfection? No. But if I am doing my best to do God's will and know God's will and delight in God, then, yeah, I can expect that if God's really making me uneasy about something, or I feel a sense of peace or relief that when I decide to go this direction, that can be the peace of God confirming the decision of man. Okay? Let's talk about a couple other verses that are related to this. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, "You shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." Okay? I think that's kind of an Old Testament foreshadowing of how the Holy Spirit would indwell the believer one day. Okay? And you begin to learn to recognize that still small voice. Does it say, go too fast and not go on the growl after church for lunch? No. Okay? But again, that voice, how does that work? John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I command you." So many times that comes in the form of remembering a scripture verse or a principle that you haven't thought about in a while. How does God speak? In God's words. That's really deep, isn't it? God speaks using God's words. So how long did it take you to come up with that? But how's the Holy Spirit going to lead? Again, so many times that voice is the Spirit of God simply bringing back scripture and scripture principles. Other times when there's an urging that you sense the Lord may be prodding you to do something, and I'm not discounting that, but start with the easy. Don't start with the complicated. Okay? Isaiah 30, "You shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." John chapter 16, verse number 8, "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father." That is, I'm leaving, and you need the Holy Spirit to teach you right and wrong. Righteousness. "And judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Okay? John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come." In other words, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the words of God. How does this principle apply in this situation? Okay? Romans 8, verse number 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. How does that happen? The ways we've been trying to describe. Okay? The Spirit of God leads us by prompting us to do those things which are pleasing to God, reminding us of things that we ought to do and we know we ought to do that. At times, maybe you may hear someone say, I just felt like God was leading me to talk to this person. Okay? It could come in the form of you thinking about, I wonder about their lost condition. Sometimes it's a reminder of, they in all the world preach the gospel to every creature, that must include them. Okay? But how God leads us. God leads us at times with an urging or a sense that we ought to. It's almost a sense that I'm going to be sinning against God if I don't do the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it starts very simple. Spirit of God reminds you of a verse or a principle of Scripture. Am I going to obey it or am I going to disobey it? Okay? So, but in all of that, God gives peace. Okay? When, Jed, I'll put you on the spot for a second. You guys thought you knew probably where you wanted to go. You go and take a survey trip, and you're still evaluating things. You're talking about it. When you come to a final decision, right? We've got to tell the church this is what we're doing, and we've got to, you know, tell the pastor, tell the mission board. Is there a sense of calm and peace? Yeah, this is where the Lord wants us. Yeah. Just, okay. On the flip side, if I'm trying to discern, and let's just say Jed decides he's going to go to Sao Paulo instead of, I forgot the name of the town. What's the name of the town? Alto Floresta. Okay? Do you think he would have that same sense of peace and calm? No, his heart is still going to be disturbed. Okay? He's not going to have that rest. He's still going to be uncomfortable. Go ahead.
Yeah. Before Alto Floresta, we were praying about going to the other countries, and there just was no peace. Like, it's just like, constant, not peace.
And if you're seeking God, there are times when you're just not settled. Okay? It's just, there's not a calmness. However, you have to be, everything that I've tried to describe at this point describes being in a spiritual mindset. Okay? You can say, I didn't have peace about witnessing to them, and really what it just means is you're scared to death to talk to somebody and how they didn't respond to you. Okay? You can say, well, you know, I didn't really have peace about this or that, and really it's just our own emotions. It's our own fears. Okay? It always happens to a certain extent. I mean, we are humans, and we do have emotions, and we do have our own ideas, and sorting all of this out sometimes can be confusing. I'm trying not to make it confusing. But if you follow what I've told you, that is to start with the things you know God wants you to do, and my mindset is to seek God, I want to delight in you, I want to please you, I want to do that which pleases you. Then, if I'm trying to make this decision, like Jed described, I'm thinking about another city, but I'm just not settled on that. I'm going to go this direction. Yes, this is where I'm going to go. And then there's a settledness and a calmness. God guides through the peace of God. I mean, there's times when you really wish God would send an airplane to right in the sky. Go to Alta Floresta. And it doesn't work that way. But when you say, all right, God, I think this is what you want me to do. This is the direction I'm going to go unless you show me something different, and there's just a calmness and peace and a settledness, and that agitating or disturbed soul is quiet and rest. That's the peace of God. Okay? If I sound like I'm talking crazy, ask God to help you understand. Okay? I'm not talking about advanced revelation and those kind of things. But as you're seeking God, that and you try your best to do what God wants you to do, that's how it factors in. Okay, Pastor, anything else you want to add to that? Okay, any questions about that? I'm getting ready to move on to number six. But I know that can at times can be the most controversial or misunderstood or misapplied. All right? Point number six is prayer. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Rather than get halfway into this and not finish it, I'm going to quit right there and we'll leave that for next week. All right, Pastor?
Yeah, I think I will. As long as you get have a minute. You know, when we talk about just the idea